Manifested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Right, we go from one concerning issue to another. South Africa has emerged as the most targeted country in Africa for ransomware and info-stealer attacks, accounting for over 40% of ransomware incidents and nearly 35% of info-stealer attacks across the continent in the second half of 2024. With its leading digital economy and relatively strong financial sector, South Africa has become a prime target for cyber criminals who exploit the vast amounts of sensitive data stored online, from government entities like the National Health Laboratory Service to critical infrastructure like the South African Weather Service. No sector is immune to these attacks. These attacks are becoming increasingly sophisticated, with cyber criminals honing in on high value targets, especially those with the means to pay ransoms. So to get more context on this, we speak to Peter Stemmet, the Technical Operations Manager at ESET, and they've actually released this report today. Peter, thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Hi, Sumitra. Thanks for having me on.
These are concerning numbers. Why has South Africa become such a top target for these attacks?
Well, it's like you said, it's the wealth per capita that makes us a lucrative target. It's like I always say, I use the analogy of fishing. When you go fishing, you'll find the place where the holes that you know you're always going to get a fish. You know there's schools of fishes there, and if you drop your line and sinker there, you'll get lucky. You'll definitely get lucky if there's a large school of fish. Now, South Africa has a massive online presence. Out of the 65 million population, we've got 45 million people online at all times. That's 75% of our population, which is one of the highest in Africa. And that makes us also a definite target for these kind of attacks.
When you look at online, because South Africa used to have a huge trust issue. South Africans in general had a huge trust issue. We took longer to get onto like online banking, online retail. And we saw a huge shift since COVID. We saw a huge shift in terms of online shopping, for instance. When we talk about those numbers of people being online, is it across the board?
Yes, it is. You used a very good example there. COVID changed the scene completely. Mm. And what it did was that during that time, we sort of become confident with the technology we use, but that followed by complacency. People continue to use online, as they become more confident, they'll continue to use online methods of doing regular jobs that they didn't normally did online. And that opens them up for certain vulnerabilities. And the problem is they forget that they need to protect themselves, get the right software, something that works for them, protect their family, protect their businesses. They don't always look at the bigger picture there.
Mm. And what I mean, when you look at how we, like, just your words are saying it, right? The names of these attacks, ransomware and info stealer, they're also looking for information.
Correct. That's the thing. So info stealer, I mean, it runs in the background. They really hope you don't catch them out. You're not aware of them, because the longer they stay there on your system, on your network, the more information they gather. And that enables them to create a profile. You know, one would think they're after your username and your password. But nowadays, it's not just that. The more they understand about your habits and your maybe your organization, the more they can create a persona, and they can personify you as an individual. By using AI, they then can trick certain applications, they can trick your colleagues, you can trick your family into thinking it's you asking for the money to be paid over, if I can use a wild example. That's a thing. AI is making the landscape much more complicated now. It's still not perfect, and we are very fortunate in that matter, because we can spot the weirdness sometimes in it. AI can't really fulfill the human function just yet, so people are skeptical, and they trust a gut feeling sometimes. But it's getting better and better, and that's a problem. We don't know. One day it's just going to be very real, and we're going to fall for it, because at that point AI and cyber attacks has progressed to the point where we didn't realize that it's at that point already. Again, because people are very complacent.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say, they've become so sophisticated in these attacks. And, you know, often you would pick it up in silly spelling mistakes. You could tell from that. But with the onset of AI, as you say, this is perfecting language. Even if you don't speak the language, it's giving it to you. So it has made it so much more difficult for people to tell what is real and what is not.
Yeah, so AI has become quite a buzzword, and I think it tends to make a lot of people scared, and rightly so. You should be careful and you should be wary. But there's still hope. We still just need to use common sense, and that's the way we can fight these things. We need to ask additional questions on top of the normal questions, and that is. I'm also a great. Let me put it in a different way. I feel that cyber education, cyber awareness, and educating people in that awareness should become a compulsory at school level already, so that by the time you hit the workplace and you on a device and you've got your own phone, you already are aware of the dangers and the risks it pose. If we start to train people at a young age, we might be able to train them to have a sharp eye on the lookout for things like info stealers, like ransomware, like AI involvement in these kind of scams.
You look a lot at personal attacks, right? We speak about personal attacks, but these attacks, like for instance, the info stealer attack, they're looking for data. They're attacking, they're getting into the systems of large corporations. We've had those breaches in South Africa before. Places like the credit union, TransUnion had a big breach there. I mean, if they're getting into your systems, how then? It's not a matter of just looking at one specific email that's coming through or, in that instance. They're getting into your systems, and this is where the sophistication comes in. Are we looking at training people to understand, to see this, to almost see this coming, or to detect that something has infiltrated the system?
So companies are waking up to the fact that they need to train their staff. It's always been part of the mandate. You know, we give our people training. We regularly we might send out a little mail to try and trick them and to show them the error of their ways, because human error, as everybody knows, it's a number one. Course of cyber attacks and malware intrusions and those kind of things. So human error is the number one fact. But the focus has never been a priority. And fortunately, we are slowly seeing the tide change where the message is getting through to even to the board members and to the CEOs and CTOs and those guys. They are now saying that not only do we need to train our people, we need to make it part of the KPIs. We need to make it a compulsory thing. They need to take tests, and they need to be regularly tested. So it's slowly changing. We're still slow to adopt, like you mentioned earlier. We are slow adopters, but especially the bigger corporations, they are seeing the value in it.
I was looking at this report. The National Health Laboratory Service reported that it was hit with a ransomware attack. I'm just wondering, you know, when we get hit with this, and you also said in the report that we tend to become targets because we have means of paying the ransoms. Are we actually paying for these ransoms? I thought the saying was that you never ever give in to these ransoms.
Yes, correct. There are companies that foolishly do pay for them, and there's definitely been cases in the past where even though they paid, they didn't get their data back. The attacker just disappeared with the money. So our advice would be rather invest in a sound data loss prevention system, get proper cybersecurity software, get proper backup software, and rather protect yourself that way, because the cost is way cheaper than in the end having to pay this cost. I personally was impacted in the National Health Laboratory attack. There was data. My family had data there that we were waiting on results, and we got called back eventually and saying, no, we need to retake the tests. Mm. So what happened in that case, luckily for them, they didn't have to pay. They could just tell the clients, you guys can come back. We need to retake all the tests. However, that's because it's a different institution. A private company don't have that luxury. You know, once they have a ransom attack, they're going to have to make a choice. They've got a difficult choice to make. They need to pay the ransom because clients are impacted. They are a private company. They can't tell them, oh, it's tough luck. There's definite consequences to them. So we don't advise that companies should pay, but what do you do in that situation? It's a difficult one, unfortunately.
So, I mean, from your report, are we actually investing enough in cybersecurity? Are we putting that money away to ensure that we are safe and secure from these attacks?
In South Africa, we feel we can see that that there is definitely a trend where people are taking it seriously, mm-hmm. but it is even slower to being adopted in the rest of Africa. But I can say with quite a bit of confidence that South Africa is going in the right direction. They are they have a budget for cybersecurity and cybersecurity training. They have specialists and consultants that come in to give them advice on what the best products would be. You know, it differs for different companies. A financial type of company that's got closed network and doesn't allow any traffic from outside, mm-hmm. they have a different requirement than, say, for instance, a small business, a little franchise that's running across the country. So it's different requirements. But there's so many role players out there, so many cybersecurity providers and managed services providers that can give you the right advice for what you need. So I can confidently say South Africa is on the it's because we are on the right track. It's because we are aware and keeping our really keeping our assets close to us here. Mm. But that just means that the criminals are trying better and more sophisticated and more smarter methods to get into our systems and our networks.
I mean, when you look at this investment into cybersecurity, we should also be investing in developing and educating, skilling the right people with the right skills to actually see these things. I mean, we're seeing a rise in deep fake scams. They're really hard to tell. I mean, in some cases, I think somebody sent me something of the president speaking and asked, you know, asked me, can you believe this? Is this true? And I looked at it and I mean, it was really hard to tell. And, you know, being a journalist, you would know. And I wrote back and I said, no, this is a fake. Don't mm-hmm. pay attention. And this is what's happening. You know, once it gets into somebody's inbox or on their WhatsApp chat, it gets forwarded and it's so dangerous. So are we actually doing enough to skill people in order to spot this, to actually keep it from getting into the public domain?
We're actually not doing enough. Mm-hmm. So the companies, you know, the bigger corporations, they have the money, they have the means, they have the time to invest in their people. But it's the more vulnerable people in our communities. It's the more the people who's not used to the technology, who's new to cell phones, cellular phones, that's not comfortable using the laptops and things. They are unfortunately the more vulnerable to these things. So yes, you're absolutely correct. We can do more, and That is currently the focus is more in the areas in businesses and people with where there's wealth, and that mindset should shift significantly towards the individual and towards the vulnerable in our community, and we're not seeing that at the moment, unfortunately.
It was interesting at the Insurance Industry Association meeting towards the end of last year. They said the two biggest threats, by far the biggest one, was cybercrime. And this is worldwide. And after that was climate change. But cybercrime was the biggest threat to the insurance industry globally. Very concerning. And it's interesting to see this report coming out. At least if you have an understanding, if you know what's happening on the ground, you know that you are a big target. It's encouraging to hear that South Africa is actually taking action against this. Peter, thank you so much for your time this evening. Peter Stemmet, the Technical Operations Manager at ESET.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.